It's time to set out on the pathway to healing and light. This is The Inner Life on Irrelevant Radio. If you have questions or concerns about your faith journey, if you are struggling or searching for something more, if you are in need of some spiritual direction, our Catholic priests are here to help.
I am here, child.
Welcome to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Hi again, everyone. I'm Chuck Neff. Thank you for joining us on The Inner Life, our program about spiritual direction. We come to you every weekday to give you a little bit of hope, a little bit of help on your journey of faith, helping you discern how the Holy Spirit is leading you in your life. Great to have all of you with us today. Hope you had a great holiday weekend, and welcome back to work and to your normal routine. But great to have all of you with us on the program today. Let's say hello to our spiritual director, Father Peter Arminio, back with us once again. Father Peter, a priest of Opus Dei, widely sought after speaker in his ministry of preaching days of recollection and retreats. And you can also hear Father Peter on the St. Jose Maria Institute podcast, Preaching Meditations, and that can be found on our Relevant Radio mobile app. Father Peter Arminio, welcome back.
How are you doing? Great to be back, Chuck.
Well, good to have you with us today. And as we head into the last week of May and heading toward Thursday, the Feast of the Visitation, we're going to talk today about Mary, Our Lady. And as we do every day, we'll invite you and our listening audience to join us on the program. But Father Peter, before we get into the Blessed Virgin and all she is to us, we'd like to start this hour with an opening prayer. Can we take a moment and ask
Absolutely.
You to
before
lead that
talking
for us?
About her, we're going to talk to her. Remember, most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired with this confidence, I fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy hear and answer me. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father Peter Arminio, our spiritual director on the program. And let's go ahead and open up our phone lines. And if you'd like to join us on the program today, toll-free phone number 888-914-9149, sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters, and our email address, innerlife@relevantradio.com. But your devotion to Mary, what's that like for you? And maybe a struggle with that a little bit. We hear about that every once in a while. But if you'd like to join us, toll-free again, 888-914-9149. So, Father Peter, get us started, and we talk about Mary. Maybe the first question for you is, what can we learn from Our Lady?
Well, we have a lot to learn, and there was a powerful reason that the Second Vatican Council, in its principal document, devoted a whole chapter to Mary, making a strong case that she is the model disciple in following Jesus Christ, and probably using an idea of St. Augustine that obviously Mary's Mother of God, and that's a singular prerogative of Our Lady, and our prerogative too, to have a mother like that. But he went on to say that she was more of a disciple. She began as a disciple by her actions, by her attitude. And I know that perhaps at face value, wow, she's conceived without original sin, and we admire her, we love her, but we can't relate to her. Well, everything in the gospel we're supposed to bring to our daily life. So we have to do some prayerful digging and look at a number of components that marked her life here. First, right now she's Queen of Heaven and Earth, rightfully so. But if she went to the grocery store 2,000 plus years ago, her spiritual perfection was well hidden underneath the shawl, the container of oil or water she would balance on her head, her humble demeanor of being a village girl. I would put my life on it that she was the warmest, the kindest, the cheerfulest, most cheerful, most compassionate, but translated through a little tiny insignificant town called Nazareth. And so the trappings of that whole scene, those circumstances, hid in a certain sense her grandeur. But we see a number of things. I think we see the tremendous value of being a disciple of Christ amid the most mundane activities. And as the Holy Father was saying in his recent exhortation on holiness, he said, we're called to express extraordinary love amid very ordinary activities, ordinary situations. And that marked her life, you know, barring, if you will, the five mysteries of the five joyful mysteries. Her whole life was very ordinary. Also, her perseverance and patience in suffering. No one suffered as she did, and she had to wait 33 years for these Old Testament prophecies to come through. And she was warned 40 days after Jesus' birth that a sword would pierce her heart. Now, this is not dogmatic teaching the church, but she had a keen understanding of the Old Testament. She didn't have original sin, so her mind was very keen, and she knew that the mother of the Savior would be the mother of a suffering servant. The passion of Jesus was spelled out 1,000 years before Christ in the Psalms of David, and 800 years before Christ was born in the prophecies of Isaiah. In fact, they're so accurate that Isaiah is called the fifth gospel. And so she had to persevere under those conditions, and we see in her an aggressive charity, I would say. Women didn't travel more than 5 miles away, well accompanied, and hardly has she heard, hey, you're the mother of God, you're that virgin predicted by Isaiah. It's sort of like, well, it used to be every Italian mother in Italy said, well, my son is a potential pope. Well, you know, that's off the table now. Now, every Catholic mother could say that, or even, well, who knows? You know, he may become a convert. So, but back to her, she was selected, visited by an angel, Archangel Gabriel, to be the mother of the Savior. And hardly she hears that, she just bolts over to visit Elizabeth and hangs out there for 3 months serving and doing menial tasks. Don't forget, this is 2,000 years ago. They didn't have all the perks. Electricity would not be invented for another almost 2,000 years later. So she served. So we see her in action. Her act number one is to serve the needs of Elizabeth. And Elizabeth, her immediate reaction is, I mean, who am I that the mother of my Lord would come and visit me? And we'll celebrate that in a few days. And aggressive charity in Cana. We see she's not a wilting lily. She's at a party, and these wedding receptions last for 7 days. Now, they weren't into such time management as we are today. And what does she do? Well, you know, she's not advocating intemperance, and I'm morally certain that Jesus' disciples, who were not probably originally invited, you know, they went to town with the wine, and she noticed it like any sensitive mother, and says, we're going to run out. We got 4 more days of partying to do. And she leaned on her son, broke his plans, as it were, because his hour had not come. He said, well, now your hour is going to come because I really want you to do something about this. These are my friends, and I want the party to keep going. And so this kind of very down-to-earth act of charity is so consoling. And then ultimately, another aggressive act of charity is being at the foot of the cross with her son. Yeah. Spiritual writers say, I mean, her suffering, in a certain sense, was at the same level as our Lord, as, you know, in terms of identification through compassion. And so we see a number of qualities that we certainly can imitate. And then her command of Scripture, because the Magnificat, she draws from different parts of the Old Testament, which indicates she really knew it pretty well. And so well that she recited it to Luke, and Luke copied it down. So those are a number of things. I mean, her life itself is such a model for discipleship.
Yeah,
and thank God it was ordinary, I mean, barring certain events.
Yeah, that's what's always so interesting to me, that it was so ordinary, so routine, gosh, just like all of us. Father Peter Armenio is our spiritual director. Let's take our first break, talking today about Mary. Phone lines are open if you'd like to join us. Your devotion to Mary, what's that like for you? Toll free, 888-914-9149. We'll be right back.